While Tennessee's offense could get anyone excited, there's plenty to be equally excited about when you look at the defensive line. From the starters down the depth chart, there's experience and stars at every single spot in that defensive line unit. And then what bolsters the defense as a whole, really, is when you have the short area quickness, the second level block destruction, and then third level, it really is just pure athleticism. But when you hone in on the line, that praise or outside noise isn't infiltrating that room at all. And when you consider it's Rodney Gardner calling the shots, it starts to make a little bit more sense. I'm Paige Dower. This is The Field Pass. Now, we've been hearing since last season that Tennessee's defense is probably going to be the deepest in the Josh Heupel era, especially at defensive line. But when we can maybe zoom in on two of those groups at line that probably have the most depth in that roster, it's tackle and Leo. At Leo, of course, it's starred by James Pierce Jr., Joshua Josephs, Caleb Herring, and Jordan Ross. And we'll get more to Herring on a second because he's been able to somehow put on 40, 45 plus pounds since last season. And then when we take our attention to tackle, of course, that's starting by Bryson Eason, Omar Norman Lott, Nathan Robinson, and Jackson Moy. And that's great for this season because a lot of those guys are expected to take on a greater role this season. And when we've heard all season that the goal for this team is going to be able to rotate those guys, for them to have valuable experience from a season ago, get great transfers like Jackson Moy and this team this year, it'll be great because you look at last year and they probably had one of their best defensive units since maybe about that 2021 season. Their defense was able to hold opposing players and opposing teams to 20 points or less per game and only gave up about 350-ish yards per game. Statistically, yards per carry defensively, they led the SEC last year. Tackles for loss, sacks, top two over the last 2 years in both of those categories. But improvement alone doesn't satisfy the Volunteers' defense. That motto from Rodney Gardner, it's what you'd expect. He's never satisfied and always wants more from his defense. And at this point, to the surprise of no one, he's continued that motto and that plan and attack this season. You know, there's been a lot of outside praise, outside noise with high expectations for that defense. And he was asked about that praise earlier today, and he's like, "What praise? I don't let any of that into our defensive line." And it's because he's really kind of empowered his defensive line to be their own self-critics, to be able to police each other, to continue to elevate that room. And he's especially done that with James Pierce Jr.
You know, I talk to him, you know, constantly, you know, about, you know, being the CEO of his brand and being consistent. You know, he just can't, you know, ride that roller coaster. You know, up and down. You know, he's very, 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 very talented, you know, and he's very smart. You know, he can be elite. But, you know, now he has to make sure he's that every day. You know, he can't pick and choose when he's going to be a pro. I mean, he's got to be a pro every day.
And a former roommate of Pierce's, and again, a teammate this year who's going to be playing behind Pierce, is Joshua Josephs, who's had a lot of mental growth since last season. He revealed to us earlier today that he had this, you know, overwhelming sense of jealousy with Pierce and the production that Pierce was able to make on the field, now having a ton of expectations heading into this season, you know, expected to be one of the top picks in this upcoming NFL draft. And while he was battling with that jealousy, not having the production in the year that he wanted last year, he actually channeled that in a different way this season, sending a lot of that worry that he had to God. He's had a ton of conversations, he says, with God, and being able to channel those feelings of jealousy in a more positive way so that he can come out this season, be more focused, and have the season that he wants to have this year.
Honestly, I feel like last year it was a little like jealousy in me. Like, I could see like my boy James, he was turning up, and it felt like I just wasn't playing at what I wanted to play, like, you feel me? So instead of like worrying about the next man, like, you always just gotta worry about yourself, focus on yourself, strive for yourself, not to impress other people, not to do it for God. God has blessed me with this opportunity. So that's where my focus been. It's just been on me and my love for Christ and just striving and taking that next step.
As the media availability wore on, he ended up opening up a bit more and being a bit more candid with us. So I asked him at the end, "What's one thing we should know about this defense?" And he says, "No one can stop us, and then some."
Yo, like, no team can really stop us. Like, you can't handle what we have. Like, even like the amount of rotations, we're gonna be so fresh off the field. We got Big O, Big E, Jackson Moy. We got Bryson Easton, Omar, Norman Lott. We got Damon Hodge. And them, that's just the interior right there. Them six guys on the interior that's going to be rotating. And then on the, yo, our edges. Like, y'all see it, man. You see who we got, man. We got James Pierce off rip. Come on, dude. Can't even plan for him. We got James. We got Caleb Herring. Bro, come on. Yo, Caleb is a dog. We got Jason Jenkins. I'm telling you, he's good. Y'all, he's a sleeper. Jason Jenkins is a sleeper. Don Bailey for sure. Tyree, like, yo, we got dogs everywhere. So it's like you can't really plan for us, honestly.
But as you heard from that response, which was nearly a minute long, a lot of the team's confidence comes from the depth that they have in that room. And while the team's motto this year is to rotate, it's a model that Rodney Gardner has had since he's been here. He wants to rotate guys, and that's what he's done, rotating about 10, 11 guys per game. Having that depth and experience and stars on the defensive line flanking it out to the front seven, they'll be able to do that again this season.
That's something, that's my philosophy. That's always been my philosophy. Hopefully that we're going to just improve our play, you know. So I do think right now we probably have more guys than what we've had here in the past to be able to do that. So I'm excited about that. You know, I hope that we can stay healthy, and I hope that we can continue to improve on the little things, you know, because that's what it's going to come down to. It's just the little things, you know. If we're going to chase greatness, you know, we got to improve in the little areas, you know, those little minute things that we think are not that important, but they are very important when you're playing against high level competition.
And a recurring word that I heard from Rodney Gardner this season that I'm not really sure if I noticed it or caught my attention last year was that he wants the team to play at a championship level, practice at a championship level, go out and compete at a championship level. And it kind of reinforces what Joey Hosley was saying earlier in preseason camp, specifically talking about Nico Iamaliafa taking live bullets for 17 games or 17 live bullets, essentially meaning they're going to be at that championship level. When you have the depth that they have, it seems that this is a realistic goal that they have for the team. And when you look at the SEC, and it's one that's won at the line of scrimmage, Amari Thomas and company are really feeding in to that motto so much so that they want to be playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And it's giving the offense really all they can handle. Center Cooper Mays took immediate notice to that.
Man, all of them really. They're doing a really good job on the D-line. The coaching has evolved a lot since I've been here, and they've added in guys and, you know, through the transfer portal, and guys have gotten older since I've been here, you know, my whole time. And they do a really good job, you know, especially in college. You know, people get hands-on and then they kind of just quit and pass pro, but not our D-line. They work second and third moves, which is really uncommon at this level.
And maybe a sneaky aspect to Tennessee's defensive unit is how different they look from Amari Thomas to Bryson Easton to James Pierce Jr. They have versatility in their size and in their quickness. And, you know, Rodney Gardner talked about that again today, too. He wants the guys to have a deep toolbox. So when you're going in and rotating or needing to move up and down the line during a certain game to get the matchups or one-on-one matchups that they want, they've got the versatility to be able to do that. Jackson Lampley saying it's a real challenge for them in practice when one moment you're going up against this guy and then another you're going up against that guy, and he had a funny comparison on those types of players.
You got so many guys, man, that are all so different. I mean, you know, during practice, like if you watch like film or games, you could not get two different D linemen than Elijah Simmons and then Omar. Okay, so it's like one play you've got some guy who weighs about 340 and is just strong as an ox. And so you got to prepare for that. And then you got Omar, who's quick as a cat. And then sometimes you'll even have James Pierce or Big O or, you know, any of those guys. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of names I'm leaving out, but I mean, all those guys are tough to block.
All right, and I didn't forget about the tease I had for you all earlier. Caleb Herring, such a character today. You never really know where maybe some of these interviews are going to end up going, what direction, you know, the players will kind of take us or guide us down. Today, for Caleb Herring, it was about how he was able to put on 45 pounds since last season, and most of it sounded like it came from a liquid diet.
You know, I just wake up, eat eggs and grits, and then I'll get apple juice, drink a cup of that, and then probably drink about two shakes for a workout. And then, after workouts and stuff, I would, you know, just go to lunch, go downstairs, go to Smokies, eat that, probably drink like one or two shakes again, And then I'll just wait till dinner. As I'm waiting for dinner, it's like I drink about 2-3 shakes. And then when I get to dinner, I will eat dinner and then drink one more shake, then I'll just be done. I have Ethan. Yeah, Ethan, like, he makes a little protein shakes. Sometimes they'll be like pineapple mango shakes. Sometimes I'll get strawberry. And then there's like the little Gatorade shakes and the little Gatorade bottle shakes. And then there's Fairlife too. Oh, yeah, chocolate, of course. Yes, it's always chocolate. Sir. Chocolate, yeah, that's amazing.
He also mentioned at one point as he was on his way to gaining more weight that there was a number of times where he just got tired and exhausted from all of the eating and all of the shakes that he was having. And when it's, you know, 5,000-6,000 calories, I guess I can't say I blame him, but apparently he's been able to keep that speed and power up until this point. But such comedy from guys like him today. And if you haven't had the chance to listen to those press conferences in full length, I definitely suggest going back to the homepage under the bonus section and listening to those press conferences, because it is quality entertainment every day. Tomorrow, it's the wide receiver unit, so we'll hear from Coach Kelsey Pope and a number of those players from the wide receiver room. For now, that's all I have. Thank you so much for watching. Again, please like and subscribe. I've really appreciated your support up until this point, and I'll be back tomorrow for another practice report.